Today's date is April 28th, 2024. We are reading from the Big Book of AA, pages XXIX, paragraphs starting Men Have Cried Out, up to and including the entire paragraph on page XXX, starting with This Immediately Precipitates. Reader Q will be our reader, followed by a 20-minute share by Marla S. Okay, reader.
Thank you, Darcy. My name is Rita Q, recovered not cure compulsive reader. Men have cried out to me in sincere and despairing appeal. Doctor, I cannot go on like this. I have everything to live for. I must stop, but I cannot. You must help me. Faced with this problem, if a doctor is honest with himself, he must sometimes feel his own inadequacy. Although he gives all that is in him, it is often not enough. One feels that something more than human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. Though the aggregate of recoveries resulting from psychiatric effort is considerable, we physicians must admit we have made little impression upon the problem as a whole. Many types do not respond to the ordinary psychological approach. I do not hold with those who believe that alcoholism is entirely a problem of mental control. I have had many men who had, for example, worked a period of months on some problem or business deal, which has to be settled on a certain date, favorably to them. They took a drink a day or so prior to the date, and then the phenomenon of craving at once became apparent, paramount to all other interests, so that the important appointment was not met. These men were not drinking to escape, they were drinking to overcome a craving beyond their mental control. There are many situations which arise out of the phenomenon of craving, which cause men to make the supreme sacrifice rather than continue to fight. The classification of alcoholics seems most difficult and in much detail is outside the scope of this book. There are, of course, the psychopaths who are emotionally unstable. We are all familiar with this type. They are always going on the wagon for keeps. They are over remorseful and make many resolutions, but never a decision. There is a type of man who is unwilling to admit that he cannot take a drink. He plans various ways of drinking. He changes his brand or his environment. There is a type who always believes that after being entirely free from alcohol for a period of time, he can take a drink without danger. There is a manic depressive type, who is perhaps the least understood by his friends and about whom a whole chapter could be written. Then there are types entirely normal in every respect except in the effect alcohol has upon them. They are often able, intelligent, friendly people. All these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy, which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. It has never been, by any treatment with which we are familiar, permanently eradicated. The only relief we have to suggest is entire absence. This immediately precipitates us into a seething cauldron of debate. Much has been written pro and con, but among physicians, the general opinion seems to be that most chronic alcoholics are doomed.
Thank you very much, Rita. And now we'll have our 20-minute share by Marla S. Take it away, Marla.
Good morning, everybody. Hi, I'm Marla. I am a recovered compulsive overeater and extremely honored and grateful to have this chance to talk to you guys today. This program has completely changed my life. And before I start, I just want to pray for a moment because I need God in on this one for me. Lots of really cool ideas rolling around, things I hope to be able to communicate to you. And I just want to pray first to get God in control in my mind, because that's always in control. God, you know what needs to be said. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be with my friends and my support people. And I pray that you will take these feelings in my heart and help them come out in a clear way and make this share be useful to someone, including me. Thank you. Amen. So it's good to be here. I'm just going to start with just a couple minutes, share about my story, my history, how I began. Spend a couple of minutes on that, and then I want to get to the good stuff, the content in the book. So I've been in OA three previous times before this last time, and I started back in high school, and the other two times after that, it was in my early 20s, my early 30s. And then I stopped. And just so you know, I dabbled in the steps. I got a sponsor at different times. I worked some of the steps, not all the steps. I had no idea what the big book was. And I did the program at the time to the best of my ability, the way I knew how to do it. And it was a very self-run program for me at that time. I'll do this, but I won't do that. I was struggling with food and weight and eating disorder for my whole life. Food was always way more important to me than to the normal person, normal eaters. But I, at first, it was fun, as a lot of us know, we wouldn't have done it if it wasn't fun. It was fun. It was comforting. I used it to get through all types of situations. And it didn't become a real problem to me with any consequences, typically until like end of high school. I had gained 80 pounds in high school my senior year. A lot of the emotional eating was starting to escalate. I've varied in my weight. I've done series of weight loss attempts, many, many diets. I was in three eating disorder treatment centers in my lifetime. One of them was the famed Menninger Clinic in Topeka, Kansas, big reputation. And you know what? All of those treatments really worked hard for me to help me make a lot of improvements in my inner self. I got some improvements. I learned how to do positive affirmations. I learned how to be more reasonable and rational in my thinking. I learned how to communicate and take some risks and, being more honest. I had lots of progress. And every time I went to OA, I also got some good stuff out of it. You can't walk into a room with people who are like you and do some of the crazy crap we do with food and not feel better. Just the nature of knowing other people ate out of the garbage, or other people, would eat a whole pizza on the way home before getting home and bringing the second pizza to their family and pretending that that was their first meal of the day, or of the night. The comfort of being around others like me was very helpful. But all of the support that I got, all of the hugs, all of the, I'm one of these people, I'm not alone, I'm not the only loser, that to me never got me well. And what do I mean by well? Today I say I'm recovered. And why is that? Because recovery to me means more than just maintaining a certain weight. I've been maintaining 120 pound or more weight loss for over 11 years now. Now, pre-program, I could not have maintained a 120, I couldn't maintain a 12 pound loss. I couldn't stop eating my whole life. As the disease progressed for me, my highest weight, I ballooned up to 284 pounds. And by the fourth time I got here in 2012, I truly had reached my bottom. And I had been morbidly obese at that time, living in a, I'm only 5'1" and a half, 5'2", and I was morbidly obese for probably at least the last 15 years of that life. I had experienced a tremendous amount of weight loss in one program, a medically supervised program, the year before I started here. I lost over 105 pounds in the commercial program, and I had become, in my mind, a star, like Bill Wilson. I had arrived. I finally was a normal weight for the first time in years. I mean, I didn't know what it felt like to be able to fit in a roller coaster after that many years, and to do, sit in an airplane seat without it digging into my hips. So I've been there. The food had taken on a gargantuan role in my life. I was a slave to the food. I had lost all power of choice and control. I was doing things with food I did not want to be doing. I couldn't stop when I wanted to stop. I couldn't stay stopped when I was stopped. And my life, I was a slave to food. And that's how I walked in here, thinking, well, somebody please get control over me. because I knew I didn't have it. So thank God I was led to the recovery program again. My Ebby was a gal that I had been to OA with long ago prior to that. And she had lost over 250 pounds in these rooms and had maintained it for 10 years. And she was the one I finally came as I'm beaten this time. I knew I was finally convinced of my powerlessness. And so when I say I'm recovered today, I can tell you that I do not live as a slave to food anymore. I have moments. I definitely have times where I have a couple times over the 11 years where I've turned to the food and I've overeaten. But what has been wonderful is that, thank God, I've never yet in these 11 years felt the need to pick up the allergy foods, the ones that have been the ones that affect my body that I can't stop. So I'm going to start talking. So I just want you to know there's been a long road for me, okay? And these particular words, I have to be honest. Last week, many of you, if you were in this meeting, you know I was extremely sad last week. I had overeaten on some of my abstinent foods and had broken off my food plan. And so, but it was amazingly poignant for me. And the reason I want to say this is because I have to say that part of my psychic change, it talks about in here. So it talks about for us, if you look up above the reading, on the other hand, the paragraph above what we just read today, as strange as this may be to those who do not understand, once a psychic change has occurred, the very same person who seemed doomed, who had so many problems he despaired of ever solving them, suddenly finds himself easily able to control his desire for food or alcohol, the only effort necessary being that required to follow a few simple rules, which are the steps, okay? And in the paragraph above that, they also say that word, those two words, psychic change. So they're first talking leading up to this section today. Men and women drink essentially, and we have that paragraph that describes the whole cycle of addiction. You know, that I have a two-part problem I've learned in the big book, that I suffer from an allergy of the body that means I do not respond normally to certain foods once they hit my lips. Once they touch my lips, certain foods for me, my alcoholic foods, are just as dangerous to me as heroin is to the heroin addict and as alcohol is to the alcoholic. Because certain foods, not all of them, but my alcoholic foods, a lot of people call them red light foods, those are the ones that trigger the phenomenon of craving in my body. And this doctor's opinion chapter tells us so much about my body is just as sick as my mind, right? And if I don't get that piece, I really have to understand coming in here that I do not respond to food in the same way that a normal eater who does not have this problem will respond. They ingest any foods they want. And as they start to get more full, and as they start to feel the sense of fullness, they are able to stop. For me, the moment it touches my lips, it happens to be all the high fat desserts and high fat fried foods and things. When they enter my lips, by the time my progression had gotten as bad as it was going to get pre-stepping in here for the fourth time, I could not change that fact. For me, the food allergy piece is like putting a gun up to my mouth. I used to think over and over, and I'm going to have these foods in these small amounts. I can moderate my ice cream. You know, Weight Watchers is a great program for people that can moderate their trigger foods. Any of the diets that I tried and that I've succeeded on for many times, you know, if you can moderate that food and have it and enjoy it in a normal amount and stop when you're done, you know, that wouldn't mean I'd need to be here. But I discovered over all those years before my real recovery, I cannot moderate those foods. I must, it tells us in the doctor's opinion, and I'll look at that just jumping up to the very last sentence of what we learned here in our reading today on page XXX, the only relief there is, we have to suggest, is entire abstinence. So when I pull a gun and I pull the trigger and the bullet goes in, ouch, it hurts. Therefore, I don't pull gun triggers, you know. But I can't not pull a gun trigger until I accept that every time I pull the gun trigger and the bullet comes out, it will hurt me, it will kill me, it will paralyze me. I may get lucky sometimes and it might graze my brain and go out the other side and I could survive. But until I get that every time that food touches my lips, I am in just as much danger as the time before. Doesn't matter how much weight I lost, doesn't matter how long I was abstinent before those foods touched my mouth. Okay, so that to me, in the doctor's opinion, is the most important piece to understand. The only relief I will get is to completely abstain from my alcohol, if it was alcohol, from my heroin. I cannot shoot up heroin every couple of weeks, or just when I'm in a bad mood, or if I'm in Acapulco and they have different heroin than we have here in America. You know, I can't do that. All right, so I have to have complete, entire abstinence from those foods, those allergic foods, because if I don't, the desire to keep going, the phenomenon of craving, it doesn't happen to the ordinary eaters. It doesn't happen to them. So that's the first piece and most important in doctor's opinion. But today, the part I want to focus on, especially because of where I have been these last few months of incredible pain and sadness and loss, and I may cry again, and I did it last time, but I want you to know the thing I'm connecting with so much today and through all of this pain is the psychic change. The psychic change. This is repeated over and over, and I'm on the paragraph above before. Unless the person can again experience an entire psychic change, there's little hope of a cure. So last week, I came to you in great pain and in crying and in humility and vulnerability. And I have to admit, it was terrifying to me to do that. Because I am an image management person. And what is one of the psychic changes? What does that mean, psychic change? You know, I looked it up. So Marla living on self-will in Marla land for 30, 40 years before finally getting this, it's all about the spiritual awakening. It's all about the spiritual experience. I living on self-will, I living as an agnostic thinker, I waking up and being a Marla. I mean, God dang it. It was like, it was doomed to fail from the start. That's how I tried it my whole life. I want to create a world where you think certain things about me. You need to think that I've got my shit together. For me to be okay, you have to believe that I'm always happy and positive and doing a good job. And my entire self-worth depends on other people. That is life living in Marla self-will. The psychic changes for me that have happened over the 11 years in these rooms are amazing because I am growing and walking through fear all the time and doing things. This whole program, if you could call it a different name in a nutshell, I think for me, I would call this program living constantly outside my comfort zone in order to grow and to change. And that for me is what the surrender is all about. Okay. So the psychic change, you know, one of the biggest psychic changes for me has been that I no longer run my own show for very long. Okay, let's put it this way. I had to come through the process of working these steps to the awareness that this is the best gift and it's also the worst gift for me. Recovery is to realize that I'm not in charge. I don't get to control life. And that is why I lived in food for so many years, because I don't get to be in charge of my son's drug addiction and alcohol use and relapse and gang involvement. I don't get to be in charge of my daughter's health problems. I don't get to be in charge of husband's surgeries or what you think of me. And I spent years pre-connected with a higher power, pre-OA, where I understood the spiritual awakening is about letting go of the perceived illusion that we can control these things. We have the bedevilments, we have the things that I have struggled with for years, depression, anxiety. And when it really all boils down to is why did I do those things for so long? And now when I do them, this is the gift of recovery. When I'm in them, when I'm sucked into them like I was last week, if I don't use the steps to reconnect with my higher power. If I don't get outside my comfort zone and get on a meeting and cry in front of over 100 and some people and admit to you that I overate on my non-trigger foods, but I still hadn't stuck with my food plan that it was an hour. It was a 1 hour. And I thought you were going to see me as a failure. And I thought I was going to be kicked out of the cool people club. And you know what happened? It was going to God drives me these days. The connection, the spiritual awakening is I don't get to be in control of my results anymore. When I surrendered my life and my will to the care of my higher power, it was like I stopped the fighting. I ceased fighting anyone. Well, it doesn't mean I don't ever fight. Sure, I do. When life shit hits me and something bad happens, which I've been hammered this year. Many of us have been hammered this year. I know a woman that was speaking on a meeting the same day her father died. What is the reason we do that? Well, I have learned my biggest piece of psychic change, and the only reason I was able to get that 45 minutes of shoveling down or overeating off my food plan, didn't thank God lose my abstinence on alcoholic food, allergy food, didn't trigger the allergy. But because I was willing to realize, the reason I did that too is I realized I wasn't working myself. I hadn't talked to God at all in that pain. For a few days in a row, I was like, F you, God, I don't want any part of you. I was living agnostically for a good 2 to 3 days in a row, behaving as if Marla was alone. I'm alone in my pain. I'm isolated. I didn't want to call anybody. God knows you can't help me, right? That's old Marla crap. But the reason I'm sharing that today is because after I tried new behavior in this meeting, to the people I know, I have a lot of people here that tell me, oh, you're such an inspiration. You help us. And I love that. God, that goes to my head. I love it. It makes me feel like a star. I never used to be a cool person. And sometimes in OA, I get to feel like I'm so special here. You guys make me feel like I have something to give you. And it's frightening to risk that. But as soon as I hung up here from that meeting, everything was better. In fact, the day before I realized I had to cry. I was running from my grief. I needed God. Today, I know I need God. If I don't choose God, when life's shit hits the fan, I will eat. And it started with Parmesan cheese that I chose not to measure. F that. That's just the food, right? But what I needed to do was to cry. I needed to talk to people and tell them about my pain. And that's the difference today. Because today, as soon as the day before I shared with another member, I got honest, I talked about my pain, I asked for help. I lowered my ego. I lowered my image management for a while so that I mean, in that meeting before I shared it, was like, God, should I say something? I don't want people to think that. What is this? I got out of my own freaking head. Pardon the cussing. But this psychic change for me is about getting rid of ego, humbling myself enough to ask for help and tell you people this is hard work. And you know what? Life is hard work. All of us who have lost a loved one, who have marriage problems, who have problems at work, who have insecurity, anxiety, depression, grief. We have dogs. My dog was shitting and pissing on my carpet. Oh, I have a terribly scuzzy carpet. Now I can't invite people over because my sick animals are getting all over it. It doesn't get out. It doesn't come out. Little stuff, big stuff. I want us to know, without God, I will and did for 45 minutes. I will seek relief in anything else I can, whether it's picking my skin, whether it's zoning out on scrolling, whether it is eating, whether it's watching TV, or helping others and giving service constantly and giving the illusion that everything's okay. Can I help you? Can I help? How can, you know what? I've learned here that if I am not real, authentic, honest, if I live in that illusion of thinking in order to help you, I have to be okay all the time and happy and smiley, I'm not going to stay well. And I can tell you what, the honesty that I had last week, the humility was such an honor to me. And you guys didn't kick me out of the club. And I think some of you might even still think I'm cool or fun. I get to stay here. And I'm hopeful that this will make a difference for you. And the topic of psychic change. So what are the changes? Number one, I need to live in the awareness that I am never alone. And what happened to me in that grief period pre last week's eating episode is that I felt alone. I was living as if there was no God for those few days. God was there. I just didn't make him a part of my consciousness. People were there. I just didn't want you. When I get sad, I tend to go inward. It took the food overeating to make me scared and cry. It started the tears. And I said, oh, I'm not encouraging anyone to go do it. Hell, I wish I would have done it without that. But if I had that happen, I made it a learning experience. And I was like, oh, I need you, God. Okay, God, back to you. Back to you. Marla, let's go again. And life is pain and life is joy. And I'll tell you, look at me. Today, I'm crying right now because they're happier tears. If I would not have gone through that and gotten in connection with God, and then I did some great prayer and great me out on like tons of meetings that weekend. God vulnerable, God authentic. To me, the biggest spiritual change is becoming authentic and surrendering this notion that I need you to think anything about me in order for me to be safe. I don't get to control anyone. And I need help just like others. And so I'm not always at the top of the heap anymore trying to play that game. And I'm also not the piece of shit at the bottom anymore. You know, I get to be one among many. And that's exactly what you guys proved to me. I had so many people reach out to me and help me last week. And I could be real. I want to be real. I want to be like Pinocchio. I want to be a real person. And that takes away all the maneuvering and the manipulation and the controlling. And how can I show up with the view of me that I want you to have? And God is changing me. That's why on my own, I could have never made these changes. I do a lot of the action steps, but I need God. I did therapy. I did affirmations. I did self-help books. I went to trainers and hypnosis. You know what? I need God. I did it alone for all those years, and I kept getting the same results. This is different. I haven't thought about eating. I mean, the moment that cry came out. So I just want you guys to know there's hope. I know all of us have pain. And some days we have good, though. You know, if I didn't cry, this week has been a really fun week. It's been a much better week. The bad things are still there. Guess what? I'm coping a hell of a lot better. And from 1 minute to the next, I can be a changed person with God, with whatever your higher power is. And these people in these rooms, you are part of my God. Higher power, you, your love, your support, the fact that I can try new behaviors with you and still have myself not kicked out of the club. And then the other piece is that God is the higher power that I surrender to. Sometimes I tell him to F off and I don't want him there. And he's still there, but I don't consciously know he's there. And I can live and pretend I'm alone for a while. That no longer works. And thank God for the steps that when I figure out what am I not doing, I can do it fast. I hope that keeps happening. And I am connected with him again. And it works when Marla works. So I sure hope that's been helpful. I'm going to pass. And thanks for not kicking me out. And all thanks.